on an island in the harbor of New York City. There's a statue that was given to the people of the United States by the people of France. It was dedicated in October of 1886. The statue, as you know, is called the Statue of Liberty. The statue is a statue of a lady in a robe with her hand upheld with a torch, and in the other hand a book. And on that book or tablet is inscribed the date of the Declaration of Independence of the United States from Britain. At her feet lies a broken chain. She stands on a pedestal, and the overall height of that statue with the pedestal, and I thought I had that here, I do somewhere, foundation of the pedestal to the tip of the torch is 305 feet and 1 inch. It's a high statue. The statue itself is 151 feet 1 inch. This statue like I said was a gift from the people of France. But it created a lot of controversy because the people of the United States were responsible to build a base for it, to build a pedestal to put this statue on. And for a number of years, the statue was not erected because the people of the United States were not willing to come up with the funds to build the base. But that was finally overcome, that obstacle was finally overcome, and the pedestal was built, the statue was erected. And in the base, in the pedestal of that statue, in the museum, in the hall, in the rooms there, in that pedestal, there's a bronze plaque mounted on the wall. And on that bronze plaque is a sonnet that was written by an American poet named Emma Lazarus. And it reads like this: "Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with the conquering limbs astride from land to land, here at our sea-washed sunset gate shall stand a mighty woman with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows a worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Ancient lands, your storied pomp," she cries with silent lips. Excuse me. "Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp," she cries with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." As we think of that statue, and we think of that poem that was written about it, I had to think of another monument that stands, that we could well put on the last phrase of this sonnet, and that is the cross of Christ. As far as the glory of the statue, copper-clad statue, magnificent, beautiful work of art, compare that to the cross, possibly at the most about 10 feet tall, made of wood. an image of ugly torture. The two side by side are vastly different. And yet, the cross cries out, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." We want to this morning for a short period of time look at some of the things that are comparisons between the statue and what it stands for, and the cross and what it stands for in a far greater way. Statue, and I'm going to use just the term statue this morning. When I say that, I'm talking about the Statue of Liberty. But the statue, as I mentioned before, was a gift. The gift of the from the people of France. France, for a long time, had ties with the American people. They were instrumental in helping America win their freedom from Britain, because France and Britain for many years had a feud going, and this was one way for France to get back at Britain without having war on their homeland. And the French, in many ways, stood by the American people when other nations refused to recognize them as a individual nation. And you think about the cost of the gift that these people presented to the people of the United States. I tried to find it. I did not find the monetary value that would be placed on the Statue of Liberty. But as we think about those things, and we look at the cross of Christ, I didn't find any monetary value that could be placed on the cross of Christ either. But this morning, the cross of Christ is a gift to us. Very familiar verses in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Brothers and sisters, this morning, that is the cross of Christ. God gave us the gift on the cross. And there is no monetary value that can be placed on that. Even though the cross is just a crude, rugged piece of wood, this morning it should to us as Christians hold a value that far supersedes anything on this earth. And it should spur us on to hold out that value to others. To share the love of God to those around us who need it. That cross doesn't stand today on an island in the middle of a busy harbor. That cross is only portrayed by you and I as Christians this morning. And if we stop and we think about the value of the cross and the gift that was given to us and the cost that it represents in the life of our Savior Jesus Christ, you and I should be moved with love to God and to those dying souls around us, to share that gift with them. We've received the gift as Christians. We have received the gift that the cross represents. But let's be instruments wherewith that gift can be given to other individuals as well. Point number two, the statue represents freedom. To many immigrants that came to the United States, as they passed that statue, they realized that statue was offering them a freedom that they did not have in the country they came from. Many of them were coming from countries where they were oppressed, countries that were poor, countries that had no religious freedom. But as they passed that statue in the harbor of New York, they realized that they're entering a country that is offering them freedom. The cross offers freedom today. The cross of Jesus Christ offers mankind freedom. John chapter 8. Verse 31 through 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Brothers and sisters, this morning, have you experienced the freedom of the cross? Have you experienced the freedom of the forgiveness of sin? Have you experienced the freedom of living a life in the honor and glory of God? Have you experienced the freedom of a conscience that is pure and clean? This morning, the cross of Christ will offer anyone here and anyone outside these doors the freedom from guilt. If you're sitting here this morning and you feel guilty, the cross is the way to freedom. You cannot find freedom anywhere else. Man would have us believe that to better our lives is the way to freedom. Man would have us believe that to have a big bank account is the way to freedom. Man would have us believe that doing our own thing and enjoying life and just living it up is the way to freedom. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the cross of Christ is the only way to freedom. And if you have guilt in your life, if you have condemnation in your life, if you have sin in your life, the cross of Jesus Christ is the only way that you can be free. Jesus says, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." There's no question. Point number three, the statue offered hope. Again, those immigrants that passed the statue had hope of a better life. They may have come from a country that was very poor. They may have not been able to pay their way into this country. They may have come because others made it possible for them. But as they entered the harbor and they saw that statue there, it gave them hope. They're entering a nation that offers the privilege of advancement. They were entering a nation that offered the privilege of a free life, like we had mentioned before, and they had hope. The cross of Christ gives the Christian hope of life now and eternal life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 and 20. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, We are of all men most miserable, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Here, Paul is telling us that he goes through a discourse in the beginning of this chapter, saying how that Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, he was seen by a number of different people. He gives a list of some of the happenings there that prove that Christ is risen. And then he goes on to say that if Christ isn't risen, then our preaching is vain. And he says your faith is vain too, because if there's no resurrection, then what hope do we have? And he says there in verse 19 that if in this life only, if we only have hope in Jesus Christ, then we can have hope in Jesus Christ here and now. But if it's only for the here and now, we are miserable because we have nothing to look forward to. We're like all the other people in the world. We have nothing to look forward to. But then he goes on in verse 20 and says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Jesus did rise from the dead. And that cross is now empty, and the tomb is empty. We don't serve a Savior that is hanging on the cross, or one that died and was buried and stayed there, but we serve a risen Lord and Savior. And the cross is a picture of the fact that Jesus died and he rose again. This morning, you and I can have the hope of a life now and an eternal life to come, because of the cross and because of the resurrection. You know, without the cross, without the resurrection, there would be no hope. We would die in our sins and we would be condemned to hell. But because of the cross, and I trust, brothers and sisters, that in a reverent way, you behold the cross and you realize that it's because of what took place there on that cross that you can have hope of eternal life. That you can have hope, and this hope is different than the hope that the immigrants had as they passed the Statue of Liberty. They hoped, their goal and their aim, their hope, their desire was to have a better life. Brothers and sisters, our hope is sure. The hope that we have of a saved life now and the hope of eternal life. It's not just, well, I hope that it's that way. But we know it's that way. And we know that God and Jesus have a city prepared for us to dwell in, to live in, to share with them. And because of the cross of Christ, we have hope. What about those around us who are hopeless? The cross is for them too. Right along with hope, the statue stood for privilege. The privilege to become citizens, the right to freedom and justice, to be a person and to be accepted. Many immigrants that entered this country were, like the plaque in the statue says, poor and wretched. To us, the cross gives the human race the privilege to become the children of God. Brothers and sisters, we were poor and wretched too. We were worthless. We had turned our backs on God. We had walked away from God. We had committed sin. We had been disobedient. We were rebellious. We were stubborn. We were proud. But the cross offers a privilege to become the children of God. John chapter 1. John here talking about Jesus John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Through Jesus Christ and through the cross, brothers and sisters, we can become the sons and daughters of God. What better privilege do we have than that? What better privilege is there in the world today than to become a son or a daughter of God? The cross offers us that privilege. And there's many verses I'd like to look at. Galatians chapter 3. There's so many verses that are so beautiful and so powerful in this thought of becoming a son or a daughter of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Excuse me, in Christ Jesus. This morning, you call yourself a son or daughter of God. You call the people around you brothers and sisters. That is possible through the cross. The cross gives us that privilege. The Statue of Liberty or any other thing in this world could never offer us that privilege. But the cross of Jesus Christ does. Are you thankful for that privilege this morning? Are you thankful for the fact that Jesus did die on the cross, did forgive your sins through the blood through his blood, and that you now can be a son or a daughter of God? There's many other verses we could look at. I have four other ones here, but I don't think for the time we'll go to them. We'll move on to the next point, number 5. The statue held out opportunity. As those ships came into that harbor, and the immigrants were on those ships, caught a glimpse of the Statue of Liberty, we are told by many that were on those ships who wrote of their experience, they said, the immigrants crowded the rail of the ship so that the ship actually listed to the side. They were that moved by seeing the statue. And many of them were moved to tears because they knew what that statue meant, what that statue was holding out to them, the hope of opportunity. Something that they did not have in the land they came from. That's why they were coming to the United States. The cross of Christ gives mankind the opportunity of freedom, ownership, and a better life as well. Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Stop for a moment and think about that. An heir of God. The Almighty God. The Eternal God. And we're his heir. The cross of Christ this morning holds out to us the heirship with Jesus Christ to God. God the Father is ready to give us everything. He's ready to pour upon us the blessings that he has for us. As we behold that cross, does it stand to us as a monument of opportunity and a monument of ownership? God has given to us The Bible tells us he's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. We have nothing of our own. Brother Jay shared this morning that we think sometimes since we were born in this country, we have the privilege of enjoying what this country offers. Why is it that you were born in this country and have all the opportunities? Why weren't you born in a third world country where you don't know when you get up in the morning where your next bit of food is going to be coming from? God has given to us everything that we have. He's given us our heritage. He's given us life. He's given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. We are heirs of what God has to offer to those who are obedient to him. And it may not be a cushy life here, but we are heirs to the marvelous blessings of eternity with God and with Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is a cross of opportunity, brothers and sisters. And as we view that cross, are we thankful? Are we appreciative of what that cross has done for us this morning? Number 6, the statue symbolizes peace and safety. To those refugees of war-torn countries, the peace and safety of the United States was a haven to them. And as we, as humans, realize that the opportunity within the cross, the symbol of the cross, brings peace and safety to us. John chapter 14 and verse 27 speaks of that, the safety and the peace that is there from Jesus Christ and through the cross. This is just before Jesus went to the cross. John chapter 14 and verse 27, he says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The cross is a symbol of peace that we can have in our hearts today. Jesus says, "I'm going to give you peace. I'm leaving my peace with you." Not the type of peace that the world gives. They cry out, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. There's war, there's fightings, there's murders, there's hatred, there's animosity, there's envy, there's... But in Jesus Christ, we can have peace. We can find safety. Yes, there may be wars around us. There may be threats to our own life. But Jesus says, don't fear those who can take your life. You don't have to fear them. But he says, fear God. And when we have the cross experience in our lives, we don't have to fear God in the sense of being afraid. We can fear God in the sense of being reverent and being obedient. And there's a vast difference between those two. We can have peace. Jesus, as he went to the cross, he said, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Brothers and sisters, this morning, have you experienced that peace? Is that peace and that safety and that rest and that untroubled heart, is that a part of your experience? Or is there something in there yet that is causing some struggle and some fear and some unrest and lack of peace? Come to the cross, brothers and sisters. The cross can bring you peace. The last point, number 7, the statue needs maintenance. The statue has been closed a number of times over the many years that it's been standing. It's been closed for maintenance. There was a time that it was closed for, I think it was over a year, because inspection showed that if there's nothing done to the statue, it will collapse. And the American people weren't about to stand for that, and they raised $300 and some million to repair the statue. The statue stood through the storm of Hurricane Sandy in just recent years. The statue itself was not damaged, but the island and the pedestal that it was that it stands on was flooded, and it was closed again. It needed maintenance. The cross of Christ needs no maintenance. It stands over the years and needs no maintenance. But we need to maintain it in our lives. Brothers and sisters, this morning, the maintenance is our part. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter here writing to the saints, and he tells them in verses 12 through 13, he says this: "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Brothers and sisters, that's the burden of the message this morning. You know these things. But we need maintenance. The cross does not need maintenance, but we need maintenance in our lives to keep the cross before us and to realize what it stands for and to realize what the privileges and the opportunities are that the cross gives to us. Also in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Remember. Maintain. Don't give up. Don't let it fade out of your life. Keep the cross before you. Look at it. Realize what it stands for. Realize what it cost. And realize that in our lives today, the cross is what gives us the privilege to be a son or a daughter of God. In the Zion's praises, turn to number 144. The old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Let's kneel for prayer.